For decades, we've asked the same question. Are we alone? But now the real question might be, who already knows the truth? Why won't they tell us? Tonight, we go beyond the cover-ups and the sightings into a deeper truth that challenges not just science, but faith itself. From governmental officials and global witnesses to the quiet but compelling curiosity of the Vatican, the new documentary Alien Perspective 2 unpacks the growing evidence that something and someone has been watching us and perhaps guiding us all along. Dean Alioto, one of the voices behind this groundbreaking film, joins us to explore what happens when contact is no longer a question of belief, but a matter of truth, transformation, and spiritual awakening. The narrative is shifting, and it's not just the skies that hold secrets. It's the church, the state, and maybe your own soul. This is the Paranormal 360. I'm Dave Schrader, and let us begin.
The Vatican has been studying extraterrestrials for a long time. There are usually a few reasons why non-human intelligence would want to interact with human intelligence.
They may be just as curious as we would be about them. They may just be the ultimate intellectual, that they are so curious about who we are that they may even tamper with where we're going.
People are calling this reception of information from non-human intelligence today a download.
Maybe eventually we're going to need to upgrade our minds regularly in order to keep up with the pace of technology.
Alien scientists have the same commitment to coming here and studying the anthill that is us.
Americans would never be in an asymmetric war unless we were invaded by aliens. We need to think about that. Why are they coming here?
I was contacted to take a look at the material and try to see what I can tell about the origin of the sample.
I think it's going to be shocking for a lot of people.
The Alien Perspective 2, the follow-up to the very popular and very well-received Alien Perspective documentary. Dean Alioto joining us right now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dean, thank you so much for being here.
Dave, thank you for having me here again.
It's exciting, right? We're in a kind of a new time in an era where it seems like it's no longer our just whack jobs reporting these things. This is crazy, but we're actually seeing that there is so much more going on, and that Pandora's box has been officially broken open, and there's no putting it back in.
Yeah, the toothpaste is not going back in the tube. It's funny. I was just talking to someone about this. How do we chart where we came from to where we are now? And obviously, the first thing that comes up is every time they mention UFOs on the news, it isn't accompanied by the theme track from The X-Files. So that was kind of stage one. Stage two is the people talking about a different narrative, not talking about is this real or not, but what does the government know? And, you know, are we going to find that out? Disclosure is the, soup du jour right now.
That hot button word that everybody's right. Oh, disclosure. We're on the precipice. I mean, it's already been happening. The trickle effect has been 50 years, but now it seems that it's gone from the trickle effect to the spigots open.
Yeah. It's almost some aspects of disclosure is kind of, you know, people will say, and there's actually a film called The Age of Disclosure. It's almost in some ways kind of like the aged out disclosure because we're not getting new information. I think what's happening now is the next hearing, if there is another hearing, that one is going to be with first-handers, first-hand witnesses, which is going to be a major leap up, if you will, to sure. credibility. Because right now it's secondhand. I heard this and that, and they even have to go into a skiff to talk about secondhand witnesses. So I feel like it's time to bring in, to bring them in. And I think that that's going to happen. And if it does, I feel like that'll be the next level. The big question is, what is the final level?
Right. The video game of life is certainly becoming more compelling to watch and participate in. You've got something that I've found fascinating. You know, I started the show 19 years ago doing paranormal talk radio. And at that time, the Pope was being very open about the fact that, hey, maybe it's not so sinful to think about life on other planets. And that exposure, that opening to what could be. And then, well, you know, yes. And if they're out there, we would love to come baptize them and, you know, talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. So to me, it seems like the church has been open to this a lot longer than maybe even the churchgoers have been open to this concept. The Vatican has had an observatory and records for centuries, right? For keeping an eye on not just the heavens, but what's going on out there. And their records are also hidden. They're not something that are readily available to anybody.
No. In fact, when I interviewed the Pope for this documentary, no, that didn't happen.
I was going to say, holy cow.
It was his last interview. It was incredible. He told me stuff you're never just not going to hear it anymore. Here's the thing. In part one of the Alien Perspective, we had Dr. Michio Kaku. He was kind of the unofficial host leading us through this. For the second one, I thought it was important that we have someone who looked at it from another perspective, because that's the whole theme to this, is looking at it from a new perspective. And so why not look at it from a perspective that is nearly identical to the phenomenon, which is the spiritual phenomenon, which is religion. And so that's how I reached out to Dr. Diana Pasulka to come on board and fill those shoes. And she did a great job. And she was permitted to go to the Vatican and go to the secret archives, which for a female academia, it hadn't happened before. She was the first one to be able to do this. I do want to say something that's kind of funny when I hear about the Pope baptizing aliens. Didn't he see the movie Signs? Where water killed the aliens?
Maybe that's exactly what he's getting at. That's the Pope's kind of preemptive strike. He's just letting the aliens know he knows how to take care of them.
He's throwing down. Yeah, right on.
The Holy Sepulchre of Doom will come on out and confront the aliens. Well, it is interesting. And obviously, Van Deneken and so many other authors have talked about the fact that religious entities and alien entities and beings seem to line up, and the concept that maybe these things, the chariots of the gods, these beings have always been amongst us, have always been watching over us, have always been part of our world. And now it's time that we all start to grasp this. So this, as we said, the disclosure has always been there, but not necessarily in the hands of people that we're going to take, you know, at face value, like the government finally coming forward.
Yeah, I mean, again, you kind of have to, and I've talked about this a lot, you have to define what is disclosure. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a person, person by person basis of what that is. For me, disclosure, I think has happened, I believe, to a much more spiritual sense, a much deeper sense with the experiencers, the abductees. And, experiencers has become something that encompasses witnesses as well, like Commander Fravor, et cetera. And so I think that's where the riches are, is really to talk to these experiencers who are having firsthand experiences.
We need to take a break. We'll be back with more Paranormal 360 right after this. We are not alone, and neither are you. You've got us. You've got the Paranormal 360 every Sunday night right here. Make sure to tune in and join us as we explore the strange and supernatural world around us. Dean Alioto, the director behind the brand new documentary, which is Alien Perspective 2, a follow-up to the very popular and well-received Alien Perspective documentary, looking at the science element. Now we're expanding that viewpoint, that perspective, to look at the religious and other impacts of what does this mean. You've got religious leaders that seem to be a lot more open to this. And for the longest time, Dean, it was, well, we can't really come forth and say that there are other beings because it's going to mess with the whole concept of church and where we belong in the whole scheme of things in the universe. But if the church is already becoming very accepting of this, what is the reason we're hiding behind it now?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's interesting. I'm reading this book by the author of Sapien, Homo Deus. And he writes about, he projects about, you know, what's to happen in the future with mankind, how we're evolving, how genetically we're going to be getting into some weird manipulations. But he also harkens back to all of our belief system and how we've all agreed on certain things and how way back when there was no religion and how it was all kind of, you know, pulled together, editorialized, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at religion, it's primarily about faith. Where things get muddled is when it becomes the interpretation of what that faith is and judgment. And so when I think about a superior being, the question is, first of all, how did you survive? Because, you know, we're struggling to make it through the advances that we have, not just the weapons and stuff, but with technology. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about an advanced species, and that's kind of the conceit of this, where, you know, part one was, where do they come from? And part two is, why are they visiting us? So when I think about that, I think that I want to say, you know, do you have someone that you, you know, believe in? Gee, like we all come from somewhere. A lot of people call it source. I'm kind of, you know, it's an energy field. It surrounds us. It penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together, as Obi-Wan Kenobi says.
Right.
That seems to resonate where everyone is at the same level here and on the next side, on the other side, if you will.
When you look at the bigger perspective, the big picture, and see science and religion, do you see that they're too far apart, or are they coming together in a natural blend?
The difference between the two of those is one has morals in it. And you could even say some form of ethics, and that's religion. Science is based primarily on repeatable experiments, mm-hmm. and being able to quantify things and show that. And so for the longest time, they were at loggerheads, right? You had Galileo, who was thrown in prison. It's, you know, religion in its worst side is its dark side is controlling people. And science doesn't do that. What science does is it says, here we are to help. I mean, way back in the day, if you had a blight upon your family, and that's what you would call it, if you had a couple kids who died, you would say, oh, God works in mysterious ways, and you just rolled with it. Now, when you go and you get antibiotics, penicillin, whatever, you're cured of whatever it is, you don't say, oh, it's God stepping in and intervening, and I'm a good person, so he took care of us. You just go, okay, great, thank you very much. And what is my deductible that I have to pay on this? So it's funny, the contrast and how that's changed over the years and how it's going to continue to change. I'm interested in that.
Do you see that the evolution that we're seeing now in the way that information is being disseminated and put out there, is it really any different than it's ever been? Because I feel like even though we're getting these bits and pieces of information coming forward, I don't know that it's advanced anything for us other than, oh, you know, this kind of smoke and mirrors screen of, oh yeah, the government's finally come to look at the footage they're giving us. Look at, you know, these hearings, and I watch them and they're compelling and they're interesting, but I don't know that we're any further today in getting any kind of answers than we were 50 years from now, or behind, 50 years ago.
Yeah. On my most cynical days, I say it's the same thing. I mean, Philip Caruso, mm-hmm. he talked about that. He said he had bits of, you know, information or bits of alien craft that he was giving out to the colleges and universities and stuff. So we've had disclosure, which we kind of talk about the history of disclosure in part two. I don't know that it has gone beyond seeing images. You know, we still aren't dropping an alien tailpipe on the congressional hearing, you know, desk. That hasn't happened yet. So at some point, the nuts and bolts is going to play itself out. And then what are we left with? And what we're left with is we are being observed. We're being analyzed. We are in a lot of ways interacting with these. And we talk about that, specifically the downloads.
Well, they're talking about, right, that there's no tailpipe. There's no hood emblem from the UFO to prove that it's been here and show us this magical technical metal that people refer to. However, with that said, I mean, there's what we're seeing in the hearings. And then somebody will ask, you know, Congress will ask a question, you know, Officer Alito, could you please tell me about this? I can tell you behind closed doors. Right.
Yeah.
It's always, do we have these pieces? That's something I can talk about in a closed session. So we very well may be giving those tailpipes and hood ornaments and, you know, proof that that alien craft exist, but it's just not being made public yet. Yet these are public hearings, which I think is what's so confusing to all of us.
Yeah. The question is, what do we want? And then the answer is, you don't always get what you want. And so when I hear about reverse engineering, stuff like that, and it goes back to, you know, did the aliens give us Velcro? Did they give us fiber optics, which the people who invented it, and it's a few, because there's different components of it, that kind of diminishes their achievements, right?
Right.
And so that's the kind of rub there. But, you know, being able to reflect light through a fiber, that doesn't give us anything. It's a matter of, you know, these crafts, what are they made of? I happen to think that these crafts might be intelligent design themselves. They might be organic. Mm. And that's what we talk about.
And having had that experience myself, seeing a craft fly through the sky, I'll rephrase that, swim through the sky like a stingray, the way it fluttered through the sky. It didn't look just metallic. There was no wind, so it wasn't liquid and shaping because of the wind. It literally swam. And when I spoke to James Gilliland from the Assetti Ranch, he, mm-hmm. when I told him what it was, he said, oh, it's half biological and half machine. That's how they get between dimensions. And he said it so matter-of-factly, I felt like an idiot for not knowing that, Dean.
Damn it, Dave. How many times have I told you? It's both. I believe that because people say that they've seen loved ones on craft before.
Wow.
And so I think there's a possibility they're also traveling in the astral plane. But, you know, the stuff that we're doing with regards to biology, that's where we're headed. So a lot of times whenever we want to know who are these advanced beings, it's really saying who are us as advanced beings? What are we going to be doing? What are we going to be possible of? And that's kind of leading us to some really interesting places.
I want to talk about that. Let's touch a little bit on Alien Perspective 1 and Alien Perspective 2. What are some of the biggest surprises that you found? I mean, obviously you went in with some concepts of what you wanted to discuss, but what really surprised you of the information in the first documentary and in this new one? We'll talk more about that when we return. And we do have a link for our guest on today's program guide so you can find the documentary.
Now, during the Halloween season, the veil between the worlds gets thinner and the chills get real. Oh, so very real. Something is waiting in the dark and it's calling your name. So answer the call this Halloween season for the Paranormal 60 Presents Halloween Haunts and Hijinks October 9th through the 12th for a supernatural weekend you'll never forget. It's being held at the historic haunted Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. Join Dave Schrader from the Holzer Files, Ghosts of Devil's Perch, and the host of the Paranormal 60 podcast. He's teaming up with Dalen Spratt from Ghost Brothers and Phantom Forensics. And we have heart-centered intuitive Diet Renee for a weekend packed with spine-tingling experiences. You'll have two nights of live investigations and paranormal experiments, interactive workshops, gallery readings, and meet and greets, live presentations with experts themselves. This isn't just an event. It's a doorway to the unknown. So you have to ask yourself, do you dare cross it? Now, tickets are limited, so please book your Halloween Haunts and Hijinks adventure now at darknessevents.com. Again, that is darknessevents.com.
We are going to have a remarkable time this October, and I hope that you will join me along with my special guests, Diet Renee, the medium, and Dalen Spratt. It is going to be just a great weekend of paranormal investigations, enlightening talks, gallery sessions, and more, and a costume party. We're having a Halloween party the first night. So for more information, go check out darknessevents.com. Dean Alioto, our guest right now, as we're talking about Alien Perspective and Alien Perspective 2, the documentaries. And let's talk about the first documentary how radically did things change for you as you go in with one concept of what you want to put out there, and with the information that you were able to uncover, the people you spoke to, what were some of the biggest surprises for you in doing the first documentary?
Well, in the first documentary, I thought I was going to, you know, wrap this up in a year and not do a terrible, you know, maybe a dozen interviews. And then it became this kind of gateway drug where one person says, you know, we start at NASA and they're like, you know, what is the protocol? Once you find a civilization that has a Dyson sphere and you can clearly see a light grid, you know, there's cities and stuff or whatever it is, but it's clearly visible. What is the plan then? And she got the giggles. And this is the deputy of the test program at NASA. She got the giggles. And I go, what? And she says, we don't have a plan. And I'm like, seriously, how many, you know, millions, maybe billions of dollars over the years, you know, be put into this? And so anyway, she said, you know, SETI has a protocol. And I'm like, really? SETI does? Okay. And so there I am in SETI. And so it would just lead from one thing to the next. And when I would hit a wall, I felt like, okay, we looked at the prosaic, and it's almost become prosaic version of this. And what I mean by that is that they're from another planet. Once you play that out, it's kind of like, is that fulfilling? Is that enough on your plate? And then you start looking at other possibilities, like, you know, Michael P. Masters, who's been championing the theory that they're from the future. And then so you go down that rabbit hole, and then you kind of hit a place where you're like, okay, I think that I've encompassed that, and so maybe I'm done now. And then you start reading about the simulated reality hypothesis, that we're living in a simulation. And all of a sudden, I'm back in it again, and I'm interviewing the guy who created the simulation reality hypothesis, Dr. Nick Bostrom out of Oxford. So we just keep going and going and going. And in addition to all this, the only thing that I knew is that I wanted to do a science documentary, not a UFO documentary. And there is a difference. I want to say, what is the evidence that we have today? And what are some of the theories? And most importantly, let's look at this not like every other documentary, which is from the human's perspective, but from the alien's perspective. As a hypothetical, what could be gleaned from that? And so to further underscore that, I went and I looked at two very famous UFO cases. One was the Rendlesham Forest case, mm-hmm. where we had an official actually touch a craft. And then Commander Fravor's Tic Tac experience with Sean Cahill and Kevin Day. And actually recreate it and not just have it look like the footage that we've seen, which looks like the 1980s game of Pong, you know?
Right.
But really show it and get inside the cockpit so we can see what all this stuff looks like. And so that was kind of next level. It kept growing on itself and becoming this thing. And so, boy, there's not one thing that I can point to other than I realized that the palette that I needed to put on this canvas went from being a few colors to a super broad spectrum. The trouble I had was culling down these 67 interviews that we had for, you know, the first doc, which is why there became a second doc, because I found that there were two things going on. One was, where are they coming from and why are they here? I had to try to answer that question. And so that's why I brought Diana Pasulka to come on board and other great minds to help me unpack that.
However, you call this the conclusion with Alien Perspective too. I mean, obviously, we've got to get more Alien Perspective documentaries, right? Because if just doing the one opened up enough for volume two, I got to guess what you're dealing with in volume two has opened up exponentially to three or four more documentary possibilities.
Yeah. I kind of want to say the UFO Elvis has left the building. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, what happened was this, it became a 4-part episode, and then I was able to let it sit for a while, and I went back and looked at it and discovered, lo and behold, that there were two episodes, that it was episode 2 and 4, that were way too deep in the rabbit hole on two aspects of the phenomenon. Mm-hmm. One was the experiencers. And so I pulled that out, and that is going to be my next movie that's coming up next. And that's called The Experiencers. And the goal is for this to be something close to the definitive documentary on experiencers. And that I can, you know, talk about later, but it, you know, it has everyone from Travis Walton to the Devil's Den story, Terry Lovelace, to Deb Jordan Cobble. And then I've also got two new people, sisters, who discover real time that something insane may have happened. It's all caught on tape. It's amazing. And so that had to become its own doc. And then the final doc will be something that's very personal to me, which is the first documentary on Dr. John Mack.
All right. And now you're settled in. You've got part two that's out. What was the biggest thing to unpack? And I know we've only got about a minute and a half left in this segment, but what was the biggest thing for you to unpack in this new documentary?
Non-human intelligence downloads, NHI downloads. That term had been coming up, and it's funny. It's the term of the parlance of our time, downloads, before it would be called the muse or inspiration. That was mind blowing.
All right. You can find these for yourself in the documentaries. We've got a link on today's program guide. You're going to check that out and keep up with it. Dean has so many amazing insights to this world for those of you that are interested, for those of you that are still skeptics and on the fence for yourself. This in no way is meant to make you lean one way or another, but simply present the facts as they are, the stories as they are relayed from many different walks of life. You're not just forced to listen to some tinfoil wearing goofball who saw it in the back of his pickup truck one night while he was running stills. You get to hear this from all different forms of science, military, religious, and common folks, so that there's something that's going to appeal to everyone. And there is a line of skepticism that runs through these that I love, because it still challenges us to not just accept everything on face value, and that even in the disclosure angles, we are still sometimes a little bit of a pawn in what's going on in the world around us. When we come back, we'll talk about what does the future hold, and do we think there will be an actual full disclosure in the next 20 to 25 years?
Have you ever felt like something or someone was trying to tell you something? That inner nudge. That quiet whisper from the universe. With intuition sharpened by years of spiritual connection and a deep-rooted gift, Winnie Schrader delivers readings that are compassionate, insightful, and shockingly accurate. Whether you're facing a crossroads healing from heartache, or just curious what the cards reveal Winnie creates a safe. Sacred space to explore your journey. This isn't fortune cookie fluff. This is honest, intuitive guidance from someone who's helped hundreds find clarity, closure, and confidence. If you've been waiting for a sign, this is it. Book your session now at lovelotustarot.com and take control of your journey. That's lovelotustarot.com. Winnie's sessions are personal, powerful, and often life-changing. That's lovelotustarot.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is the Paranormal 360, your home every Sunday night for the strange and unusual. And now, as we talk to Dean Alioto with our last segment here together, where do you think this takes us next, Dean? Are we going to see in the next 20 to 25 years some kind of definitive proof that isn't just one group that's holding that knowledge, but the world will be fully aware of this?
Okay. I have one response, and then I have a question for you.
Okay.
What we're going to see next is a whole bunch of movies about disclosure. And I don't mean documentaries. Steven Spielberg is doing an event movie about UFOs. I've got three movies.
Really, that seems so out of his wheelhouse, though, Dean.
It's a stretch. It's a stretch for sure. But, you know, I believe in his talent. I think he's going to amount to something huge someday.
Sure.
It's just me. Yeah. Just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I've got three UFO films that I want to make as well. You know, I made the McPherson tape, which was the first found footage film that happened to be about a family being abducted by UFOs. So I guess it's been in my, you know, in my DNA since I'm 24. So here's my question for you. What is disclosure? When you think of the panacea of what disclosure would be, the Xanadu, what does that look like to you? Because there's so many different versions of it. So when you think about what is the ultimate, I'm always curious asking what is that, and then try to reverse engineer it from there. So for you, what is that?
For me, I think it's just the point that it's going to be that Independence Day moment when we'll just see this craft in the sky that people can't just summarily dismiss. It might be everywhere at once so that we're all witnessing it. You can't play it off as, oh, it's fake news and, you know, AI film that's going on, because you can look out your window and see it hovering over Chicago and Los Angeles and New York. And that being the big get together, to me, that's it. Even the government coming forward, I think we have such a problem in trust for a good reason for and with our government at this point, that even if they came out tomorrow and said, yes, we're being visited, there are aliens, we're working in conjunction with them, we allow some abductions because the science we get from them is helping us and the science they get from us is helping them, and together we're going to be able to build a better race, I think at least half the population is going to think it's baloney and fake news. Just a human disclosing this is not going to be enough for the world to come together and believe. That's my version of, I think, what real disclosure would look like.
Wow. I need 2 hours to answer that, start to answer that.
No pressure. You have 4 minutes.
Right. Okay. All right. First of all, the government acknowledging that we do have a relationship with NHIs, non-human intelligence. The thing that's going to be held in the other hand, are going to be the next question is, what about these experiences and these abductions? And the question is, did you know about this? Did you know that they were grabbing people in the middle of the night? Did you know that they were grabbing children in the middle of the night? How do you justify that? And to what end are you doing this? And why would you allow this to happen? And can you stop this? I've been to a experiencer support group. I was one of the only people, only a few people that were able to film an experiencer support group. And there was a major in the Army who, 35 years old, big gentleman, who was furious, almost had to be restrained, because he had discovered that his children, who he had never mentioned before, they just showed him art of what they've been drawing, and they've been drawing these beings. They call them the little skeleton people that sometimes come and visit them. He was furious, and he's in the government. He's in the Army. Mm-hmm. So setting that aside, it becomes a matter of, what are they going to do for us that we can do ourselves? Like, talk about clean up the environment. Well, we're asking a parent to come in and clean up our room, right? Shouldn't we clean up? Because we're just going to make it messy all over again. So it becomes very challenging, because we're saying, okay, we want to know that there is a relationship, because all of your answers had to do with relationships with them. That's going to be really tough with the experiencer, the abductees, narrative. So I don't know how we get over that. So if it's just a craft and we see the craft and everything, well, a lot of people have already seen the crafts. If we see them land and everything, we start kicking the tires. Are other nations going to be able to reverse engineer them and strap bombs to them? So it's very problematic. I'm like you. I want to believe the best in humanity and everything else, but I'm not sure that it always plays out that way.
No, I think we've seen that sadly play out before us over the last few years, of just how not nicely we play together and how governments are willing to bully each other and threaten and make life very uncomfortable all across the board. Dean, I wish you a lot of luck with the continued success on these documentaries, and I can't wait to see what you bring out next, because I think that the world is ready. We are at a point where we need more information, and I'm glad that there are people like you taking this seriously, removing the stigma from talking about it and allowing people to feel normal for having these experiences.
No, absolutely. I feel like at the end of this, I hope that I've been of service to the phenomenon and help those people that are having relationships with them. And again, in episode two, we delve deep into the downloads that people are getting. So there is actual manifestation of this relationship coming. So, but anyway, yeah, it's a fun ride. I'm still enjoying it.
Excellent. Dean Alioto, our guest. What we uncovered tonight wasn't just a glimpse into alien contact. It was a challenge to everything we think we know about ourselves, our governments, and even our faith. From the secrets held in classified files to the Vatican's quiet curiosity, Alien Perspective 2 reminds us that the truth is far bigger and far more personal than we ever imagined. But the mystery doesn't end in the stars. Sometimes it's hiding in the trees. Coming up in the next hour, we shift deep into the wilds of North Carolina, where something ancient and powerful still roams the forest. That's next, right here on the Paranormal 360.